You just can't get the staff, can we? You just can't get the staff.
We can't. We cannot.
Right. Right, right, right. First question. Oh, there's not loads today, so I'll be short.
I'm going to ask the first question.
No, wait a flipping minute.
How long and how frequent should I send out nurture emails? No, you ask the first question.
Tosser. How long and how frequently should I send out nurture emails to my competition leads? Going to continue during free trial of community group in Feb. I wonder if it's something I should continue with a weekly email.
How frequent?
You're actually reading the question again after you asked me to read the question.
Yeah.
You're an absolute sausage.
Going to continue during my free time. How frequent? At the very least, it depends on what type of email, I guess, is the question. Because, for example, if you're sending out, I'm guessing it's with the free trial community group. So I guess if you might do a weekly roundup of what's happened on the group and some links to some videos, if you've done videos as kind of a weekly wrap up to everybody, that might be a good shout. A monthly newsletter is another good shout. I think from that perspective, just getting that in a bit of consistency and a bit of a flow and getting people expecting it, I think is big. I absolutely think you should continue doing it, simply because you can't guarantee people seeing the content on your Facebook group. So and if it's specific topics or if you're doing a live Q&A, maybe you pop that into an email and send it to everybody to catch up on if they didn't make it. So I think you can repurpose a lot of content for emails from the Facebook group if you're using that to nurture the guys. And then I think also when it comes to the end of this free trial, you could do a series of emails nurturing them to a call to action, whether that's some goal setting sessions, whether that's just booking on a particular service, whatever that may be. So yeah, I think drawing, absolutely, 100%. And I think afterwards, like a series of nurture emails, that will just kind of point me in the right direction for the next step is going to be good. And then you can just continue that flow of whether it's a monthly email or whether it's a weekly kind of wrap up of your content. Yeah, hopefully. And how long to do it for, keep doing it. I wouldn't say stop. Is there anything specific off the back of that, mate? Just a comment in the comments. It's going to be a tough one today, isn't it? Jeez.
What is wrong with you today?
How long? No, it doesn't say long at all, does it? How do I get clients?
Say what, if you're listening to the podcast, then I honestly, I would advise you to switch to another one now.
Just stop. See you next week. Have a good week. How do I get clients to focus on their goals with loved ones getting in the way? One example would be husband thinking wife is doing too much, 10K steps per day, and isn't allowing her to get out and do daily tasks she has set for herself.
Ooh. In my head, I'm like, is the husband not allowing her out to do the tasks? So what's going on here? Right. So I'm going to tackle this in two parts. The first one is that support network and their environment is massive for any coach to, in my opinion, discuss at point of sale and at every single monthly review afterwards, because that's going to dictate a lot of their behaviors, choices, influences, all of that type of stuff. So their environment is huge, right? So any advice to any coaches to that, they explore what their environment looks like, whether it's at work, whether it's home, how supportive will people be around them, and then come up with a basically an aligned kind of conversation or something that they can walk through with their partner to go, right, these are my goals. This is what it means to me. And essentially, one of the requirements for me to get there is to go to the gym and to do 10,000 steps a day, for example. And if I don't do that, I can't. There's a massive chance I won't achieve what I've really set out to and what I'm paying for. So how can you support me with that? Because I really want it and I need it, and I want the support from you as well. Now, if you can support them with how to frame that chat and have an honest chat, then that's great. And I personally think that's all you can do. Like, that's all you can do. Or you could come up with suggestions and options of how they can get the partner incorporated into that, the activity that they're doing. I think one of the most rewarding parts of our job is that when they haven't got a supportive partner and they have to go out for walks and stuff like this, and maybe the partner wants and needs to change, there's a bit, an element of resentment because one partner is changing and the other one isn't. And there's like jealousy, they're going to the gym and all of that type of stuff. So they're going through this internalized battle. And then with this person being consistent in what they're doing, then the partner starting to pick this up, going out for walks, that's huge. You're like, you've influenced that as a coach. So first of all, that starts with the real honest chat. And I think this is where the powerful thing behind, once you've gone through goals in a consultation and you explore, right, now I know your goals, who else needs to know them to support you with them? I think that's something that every coach should do with every single client for these reasons. So that's how I would get around that and incorporate maybe, if we can, some activity for them as a pair. I think in regards to the second part of the question about isn't allowing her to get out and do the daily tasks she has set for herself, that again needs to be a conversation between you and them. Like, what it very much depends on the goal. It depends on the goal and the person. If this person wants a rapid transformation and is going to go really aggressive, well, 10,000 steps isn't aggressive, but really aggressive with their goal, it might mean that they have to sacrifice elements of their life to do it, right? Some people have short-term goals and you might be all right from a values perspective to deliver that. So it depends on the person, but in general, from the way this question's framed and how I know this coach and who they coach and all of that, I would say that probably what you need to do is sit down and see how we can incorporate the steps, the exercise and all of that into their life so they don't miss out on anything from a task related stuff. Because what you'll find is, as soon as they start to miss these tasks, life starts to get in the way and they won't adhere to what you want them to do. So if a red flag's come up straight away that they're missing out on things, they're not doing stuff that they would usually do, and they're not getting tasks done and all of that, I would say at some point there's going to be a breakdown of adherence, because it's going to force them towards wanting to do that other stuff. So a conversation and a monthly review, how can you incorporate this service into their life without it disrupting it too much, is probably what's needed. Anything you'd add?
Nope.
A gym member approached me after my class and asked if she could book one session with me so I can teach her how to use machines and weights. What would your approach be for this?
I think of what she wants to begin with, and use that as an opportunity to educate her, to find out more about her, to find out what she's focused on, what her goals are. What she's obviously needs structure, routine, some confidence. So I would definitely do it, but I would use that as a way to find out what she needs as well. And then 100%, make sure she understands what your services usually are. I think that's a really key thing. And then make sure that you absolutely make sure that you've got an opportunity for a follow-up as well. Whether that's a week later, booking her in for like quick 10 minutes, or jump on the phone with her or whatever it is, and just go over that. And again, dig a little bit deeper into it, because ultimately, even if you're going through some of the machines, the basic fundamentals is you understanding what she wants to do, so you can make sure the machines are the right ones or the exercise are the right selection or whatever. So I think it's just a starting point to build upon. it's great because she already probably has a perception of value on coaches, on PTs, on your time, which is great. I think you should treat it as a first stepping stone into building more rapport and understanding so you can ultimately give her and help her the best way possible, which is working with you. Anything else?
No, all good.
How many times would you email someone on mail list a week, on a mailing list a week?
I think the easy answer to the question is a minimum of once. And I know that sounds really stupid, but like, I mean, if you've got an email list and you're more likely to get in front of people, more people are likely to open your stuff, more people are likely to buy from you from an email list than they are on social media. So you'd be mad, A, not to build one, and B, not to try and at least email once a week. If I'm honest, I don't know the optimal volume of emails that you need to then increase the volume of sales. Like, if we go off common sense, that if you do two or three a week, then you've got two or three times more awareness. So then is the two or three times more opportunity for people then to click onto your call to action and so on? So from a common sense perspective, that I would say that maybe between one and three a week, but starting off at one a week and seeing how you get on. I don't know the optimal time frame. I don't know. I've seen Suk share something yesterday that was really valuable about emails. Nick knows more than me about growing an email list because he deals with it for us. But my advice would be at least a minimum of once per week, unless you were in the middle of the campaign and maybe you'd hype that up a little bit to maybe two or three. But you can vary it. I think where a lot of PTs get it wrong is that we feel like on an email, we have to write War and Peace all the time and be perfect at copy. Like, some of them can be short, personal, that you're promoting a response off the back of that email where you're asking open-ended questions and trying to get people to reply to you. So they don't all have to be content, copy heavy, War and Peace type, education and information and all of that type of stuff. They can be varied. Yeah, that would be my advice, but Nick's probably better positioned than I am to talk about that. Anything else?
I'd agree. I think, as soon as anything that's going to be consistent, anything that's going to be consistent. And I think one of the key things is that, when someone, I think first of all, think about, like, when someone comes on your mailing list, they're coming on your mailing list for a reason. They want to know more, more about you, or more about what you've got to say, what you've got to give, what you've got to inform them on, versus social media largely, because that's probably where largely most of you are getting it from. So I think take that as a massive positive. But then the most important part is going to be how you welcome them onto the email list. So get an automated automated response when someone opts into your mailing list and welcomes them and makes them feel like this is what to expect, this is what's going to happen, great to have you here, blah, blah, blah. Like, that's a really important thing. And then maybe even do a short little series of emails, which is really, showing them what you do, showing them what content you provide, whether you search back on some of your most popular posts or previous emails and kind of put them into just a series, because they've been popular for the demographic. And just get on a really regular and consistent routine with that, minimum once a week, I'd say. But I think focusing on that first welcome series is going to be really important, because they're most excited to be there. They've just joined your mailing list. They're most excited to be there. So you've got to meet that expectation. Apart from that, it's whatever you can keep consistent to begin with. And as Ant said, the more often you can do it, the more you're going to get in front of people. So.
Last question. How do you prioritize your tasks?
Directly off what my goal is. Directly off what the what the long-term goal is, and then the short-term goal is, I work probably better with shorter-term goals. And then just identifying the little tasks. So if you've got, I don't know, whatever it is, building a new program out, or putting all of your clients onto new software, or whatever it is, just literally write down everything you need to do to make that happen, make the end product happen of that task, and then start to prioritize that out so you know what comes first. Because a lot of the time we'll just go directly to what we want to do or what we like to do or what we feel competent in doing and leave all the shit stuff and the stuff that we're not sure about right to the end. And that basically delays all of it. So I'd say, yeah, look at a task, break it down into tiny little steps or as many steps as you can. Take those steps in logical order of not just what you want and you feel you can do, but what is going to build up to getting that overall task done. And then simply, everybody works different. Some people like to get that one step done before they then leave the desk or whatnot, or leave that. So everybody works different. I think you got to figure out how you work. Some people can put a task down halfway through and come back to it later. I find that really challenging. So it's completely down to you how you then manage that and plan that into your schedule. But I think that's the most important thing, is either long-term and then breaking that into short-term goals, understanding what tasks are going to build up to that, and then breaking that task down into tiny little steps and planning that in. Yeah, that's what I'd say. Anything else?
No, I think the only thing I would add to that, and it is very person dependent because it doesn't really matter what we do. We can give you different options. I think the only thing I would add is to make sure that you're not prioritizing the tasks on the day that you need to do them, because that's when normally people start falling behind with things. So trying to get, once you've written your lists down, for example, across, whether you do it across pillars of work or whether you just write one massive list and go, right, what's the priority, the biggest priority to get done, no matter how painful, what's going to be that make the biggest impact. You prioritize that and set that across your week in actual hours, and micromanage yourself slightly, and then make sure that then at least the day before that each day is set up. Because what you'll find is if you're choosing to set that up in the day, then you've got clients in the morning, and then you're not actually doing your list or prioritizing your workload until 10, 11. And then like some of the day is gone already. So then you're always chasing your tail. So always be at least the day before with prioritizing your tasks. So you know, A, you can go to bed with your head at rest at the fact that you've got tomorrow set up. And B, you can turn up to everything with a level of intent because you know what needs to be done. And just allow for a little bit of a shit storm to happen in the day. So don't have like everything blocked out hour by hour. So there's always like 1 to 2 hours in the day that actually is fairly free. That doesn't allow you to procrastinate and sit on that Instagram for hours, but then you've got these quick wins that you can insert in there from your list. That was it. That's all I would say. Sweet as a nut.
Any questions from the group?
No, there isn't. Short and sweet one today. Short and sweet one.
Wicked, man. Wicked, 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 wicked.
All right, guys and girls, thanks for your questions.
It's been a pleasure.
In a bit.
See you later.